Hey everyone, how you doing? This is Amon Green, the Green Bay Packers all-time leading rusher, and you're listening to The Average Cheese, hosted by Dell and Todd, two lifelong Packer fans talking about their favorite team, the 13-time champion, Green Bay Packers. Go Pack, go!
What the hell's going on out here? Everybody's grabbing out there, nobody's touching!
It's going to get there. He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in it? In the end zone, it is caught for the win.
Welcome to episode 167 of the Average Cheese Podcast. Thanks to Rhonda and the folks at R&M Management. Thanks to Dwight at DDGCustoms.com. And thanks to Dan and the folks at Bob Anderson Builders. Peter, it's nice to see you for episode 167, the Gray Rugemer episode. Nothing has happened today.
It's good to be here. It's been a quiet day.
When I asked you if you wanted to go on, there wasn't much going at that time earlier this morning. And then everything blew up.
And now I'm worn out. And I've just been sitting on my couch, right?
Stunned.
just trying to follow what's going on, seeing what people had to say, trying to see what the size of the deals are. It's been a fun day.
If I'm not mistaken, it's just the legal tampering period, right? Right now, the actual league year doesn't start till Wednesday.
Yeah, so none of these deals can officially be signed until Wednesday. But yeah, they put in this legal tampering period 2, 3, 4 years ago.
So the Packers have been very busy today. Where would you like to start?
Well, I guess the place to start probably, because I think this is the news that we heard first. That's the release of David Bakhtiari. I think that's the one that kind of first came to us today. And it wasn't a shock, but it's still really big news. It's sad when you move on from any player, but when you move on from certainly a Packer Hall of Fame player has been the mainstay of the offensive line, you know, one of the mainstays of the Packers team for a decade. I think anytime you move on from a player like that, it's sad. And I think the circumstances as well with the injury and all of that just make it doubly sad. But, you know, we're grateful to have seen him for more than a decade.
Yeah, great player. When healthy, top two, top three in the league every year that he was healthy. And that's hard to move away from. And he's a good dude. Part of the issue is letting go of David Bakhtiari, the person. But then on the business side of things, you just look at it and you say, you don't know. Like, they don't know if that man is going to be healthy or not. You can't put $40 million into a question mark. And that's what David Bakhtiari has been for the last, what, 4 seasons now? 3.5 seasons? I'm sorry to see him go, but I mean, Todd and I talked about it a couple weeks ago. It's time. It's the right time. You have a guy in Rashid Walker who can replace him, not at the same level, but was very competent at the end of the year, should only get better with reps and playing time. So kind of the writing was on the wall. Sorry to see David Bakhtiari go. They're saving, what, $20 million cutting him?
That kind of number, yeah. You know, you touched on it. It's been a great career. 3-time Pro Bowler, multiple time All-Pro first and second team, and started every game in which he played for the Packers. 131 games, 131 starts. Yeah, a fantastic, fantastic career.
And wasn't he a 4th-round draft pick out of Colorado? So, I mean, that's not a guarantee in that round to start games. So he was great out of the gate. It wasn't his status in the draft that put him out there on the field. It was his ability to play the game of football.
Absolutely. You know, and you know, he's one of those guys that when he was drafted as a 4th-round pick, he's probably going to make the roster and probably has a chance to eventually become a starter. That's kind of what you're looking at as a 4th-round level. Yeah, he exceeded that expectation immediately.
And since we're talking about guys that we let go today, let's talk about Aaron Jones right away before we get on to guys that we've signed. Aaron Jones, oh boy. This is kind of a tough one for me. Another great human being and great player for the Packers. 30 years old. That's kind of the cliff. I'm not sure that Aaron Jones was on the edge of that cliff at 30 because of the use he had gotten over time. But 30 years old, nonetheless. Your thoughts on Aaron Jones being let go?
Yeah, again, it's another difficult one. Great character guy. You know, just from the outpouring that I've seen today, but just the feeling that we all have anyway, just seems like an absolute great guy. Again, another fine football player. Packers' 3rd all-time leading rusher behind just Amon Green and Jim Taylor. That in itself is a fantastic achievement. The guy can still play. He showed that in the last 5-6 games that he came back for at the end of the 2023 season. It's one of those things where you still had this feeling that if they could have come to a financial arrangement, that he probably would still be a Packer. But that cap number is $17.5 million. He was never going to play on that number. And so it was just a case of could they or would they be able to come to a deal, and clearly not. Again, really sad to see him move on, and be interesting to see where he goes, because I imagine there will be lots of teams that will be really interested in him. You can think of the likes of the Cowboys, for example. Texas connection for Aaron Jones. The Texans as well. The Houston Texans could do with a player like that. What I hope is that he doesn't end up in the Packers division.
Well, it's bad enough if he ends up in Dallas, because that's a team you may see in the playoffs and whatnot. Yeah, I agree that he wasn't going to play on that number. And Aaron Jones has signed team-friendly deals. It was time for the Packers to pay up. I would assume that his agent and him were like, listen, we've done deals that have given you the opportunity to do things. It's my time now. That's what I would do as his agent.
Absolutely. You know, and it's one of those situations where you could absolutely see both sides of this. There's no fault, at least in my mind, on either side. Certainly if I was, as you just described, if I was Aaron Jones or Aaron Jones's agent, you want to get what you can, because it's a short career, and you're absolutely right. You know, he has taken a pay cut, you know, pay cuts in the past.
My concern with Aaron Jones and the Packers is how loved he was in the locker room. It's not just a player and the guy that you see in the media. It's a player who clearly leads by example. The short play I get, Josh Jacobs, who we're going to talk about in a minute, is much younger than Aaron Jones is. 4 years is a lot of time. The long play, though, for the Packers might have been, let's pay this guy for 3 more years. We have a leader in the locker room. He's a Packer guy. He's done a lot for the Packers, both financially and on the field. Maybe sending the message that we will take care of our guys is as important as the financial short side of things. And I'm not Brian Gutekunst, clearly. I just think that in this case, with this guy, you may have done damage in the locker room that is more, I don't want to say important, but there's something to who he is as well as the player that he is. I'm not saying that well, but I worry the long play is not there.
And the same applies with how good David Bakhtiari was, I'm sure, in that situation as well. And that leadership, that locker room leadership, just can't be overlooked. And you know, and you might also want to throw AJ Dillon into that mix, a guy that's been great in the community, has been a great Packer person for the last 4 years, and he's, it seems, likely to move on. He's an unrestricted free agent. So yeah, losing that kind of leadership, character, positivity, attitude from the locker room is a loss.
I don't mean to go off on a tangent, but do you think that signing Josh Jacobs makes AJ Dillon more likely to be a Packer? Only because, and we've talked about this, you and I have talked about the running styles between AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones completely different. Are the running styles of Josh Jacobs and AJ Dillon more similar and therefore less of a change when one or the other comes into a game?
It probably does make it slightly more likely that the Packers will try and bring AJ Dillon back. They like Emmanuel Wilson from reports that we see. There's definitely another running back coming into this mix, whether that is AJ Dillon or whether that's a guy that they draft perhaps later in the draft. It's certainly not a like-for-like replacement.
So let's move on to guys that we have signed. Actually, no. Let's talk about John Runyon Jr. hitting the lottery today with the New York Giants. They have agreed to $30 million over 3 years, including $17 million guaranteed. That's a lot of money. Congratulations, John. We're happy for you. Thoughts on John Runyon Jr.?
I think we were all pretty certain, if that's not confused English, I think we were pretty certain that he was probably going to move on. To get $17 million guaranteed, that's a really good deal. I mean, you'd like to see the structure of that deal, because it might be that $17 million is in the first 2 years. The third year may be at $13 million, which he might never play at. So it might turn out to be 2 years, $17 million, rather than 3 years, $30 million. But even then, it's $8.5 million a year for 2 years. So, You know, for the time that he was with the Packers, he did a really nice job. He'll do a nice job at the Giants.
I mean, he was a good player. And again, the end, you know, you don't know if guys are injured. They might be dinged and not injured, which affects their ability to play at a high level. He didn't play at a high level. It's that simple. Now, was John Runyan on a downward trajectory? Maybe. Maybe not. I mean, maybe he just had some aches and pains that caused him to not be as great. Maybe they'll move him back to the left side. Maybe he's better on the left side of the center than the right. And that it's that simple. I don't know. I mean, I'm happy for him. The Packers were never going to give him that kind of money, and they shouldn't. You said that offensive line and interior offensive line is a strength of this draft. Does that change? I guess it doesn't, right? Because they weren't going to sign him anyway. But does that change what they do in the draft? Do they now, like, look for an interior lineman?
I think what it does do, it probably confirms what they were already thinking. So until the player actually signs with somebody else, then there's still a small percentage perhaps that he comes back. Now that uncertainty, if that's the right word, has gone, and I think it would confirm what they were already thinking. And yeah, and for me, I think they will go offensive line, whether that's an interior guy, we talked about Graham Barton a couple of times, that kind of guy, or even later in the draft, they take a tackle that they can move inside because that's something that they've done in the past and been good at it. I think they will go offensive line reasonably high in this draft. It could be first round, could be second round, but I do believe they will.
On a guys got paid a lot of money note, the Jacksonville Jaguars signed like they've already done it. Darnell Savage, 3 years, $21 million, $12.5 million in guarantees. Oh, wow. They see something in Darnell Savage that I don't. Maybe they see that athleticism that had little bits and pieces that we saw throughout his career and think we can change Darnell Savage. Maybe they think, well, we think Joe Barry fucked them all up and now he's going to be fine no matter where he plays. I hope Darnell Savage has success. I just don't see it. The man can't locate the football. That's never going to change. I don't think that part is a part of his game he can ever fix. Thoughts on Darnell Savage?
When you have a guy that's the athlete that Darnell Savage is, that was one of the reasons the Packers drafted him in the first place. Great athleticism, speed, played downhill, all of that kind of stuff. But when you've got a level of athleticism, which I assume is still there, then I think that teams will always think that there's a role for that kind of guy.
Sure.
And it might be. We say this quite often, but sometimes it's horses for courses, and sometimes just a change of environment can make a difference to a player. $21 million over 3 years. Again, you need to see what the structure of that deal is, because you imagine a third year will be bigger than the other two. So it's probably, you know, the equivalent of 2 years and could be 3 years kind of deal.
Right.
Yeah, I can kind of see that, especially if you're a team that's got plenty of cap space.
Yeah, $7 million isn't a huge number at the end of the day for a veteran. You're getting a guy that started quite a few games for the Packers. Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens there in Jacksonville. The Packers have signed some guys. Let's start with the least significant signing in Tyler Davis. Is he, in your mind, a special teams only guy? He'll get a few snaps, or is he going to be an option at the tight end spot?
I think that realistically, behind Musgrave and Kraft, we don't know what's going to happen with Josiah DeGuara or whether the Packers bring in another guy. So it's tight end three, tight end four. And realistically, he's not going to get a huge amount of playing time on offense. I think there will be some speciality plays to get him in there. But yeah, the Packers love him. And going back to 2022, huge number of snaps on special teams coverage units. So yeah, I think that, not surprised that he's been re-signed. I see him predominantly right now as a special teams guy that can play a little bit of tight end. But you have to have those guys, you know, on the roster. So yeah, okay with that.
And they know what they're getting with Tyler Davis. Like, he's been in Green Bay long enough to know what they're getting. So I want you to read LaFleur's mind and Gutekunst's mind. Do the Packers go look for an H-back replacement to Josiah DeGuara, or do they just try to draft or pick someone out of free agency that is a quote-unquote tight end? You know what I mean? Like, that's just the stereotype of a tight end. What do you think they will do, or what would you do?
They like to have that H-back guy, right? Whether that's Josiah DeGuara, or they've had kind of fullbacks that can receive coming out of the backfield over recent years. Danny Vitale comes to mind. So I think they like to have that guy because they give the offense something different. So I absolutely believe that they're going to have that H-back stroke, fullback stroke, whatever you want to call him, on the roster. Whether that's DeGuara or not, I don't know. There's a guy, Jaheim Bell, in the draft who's kind of that same kind of size and probably the closest to being an H-back type. Certainly not first round, but kind of maybe day two, maybe early day three, that kind of area. Certainly a possibility. But yeah, I definitely think they'll have that type of guy on the roster, yeah.
So other guys have signed. I'd like to talk about the defensive side of the ball. So let's talk about Xavier McKinney. 4 years, $68 million. Big number, but not the biggest number at the safety position. I think there are three or four guys higher than him. This is an absolute need. The Packers have gone out and got a guy. He's like 25, 26 years old. They had to plug this hole with a veteran, in my mind. They couldn't have two young guys or a plethora of young guys or retreads like they did with Rudy Ford. I think this had to be a spot where you went out and got a guy that you know is going to be able to play right now and play at a high level. Thoughts?
Like you say, you get a young guy that's already, you would say, is he at his peak? He's close to his peak. A super player. And interestingly, he's quite versatile. Spends the majority of the time playing as a deep free safety type, but can play in the box. I imagine that the Packers have signed him, well, actually to use both things, because they want to be versatile in the defense and disguise coverages or whatever else. But I would imagine that predominantly he's going to play that free safety role, which appears to be, from everything we kind of heard with the new defensive coordinator, kind of key to his defenses. I like McKinney a lot. He's around the football a lot. He's involved in turnovers. Was a good player at the University of Alabama. And like you say, the age thing is key. To get a guy at that age that's going to grow with the rest of this defense is cool. A
couple of things I saw off of Twitter, both on PFF. Since entering the league, Xavier McKinney has the number one PFF coverage grade when lined up as a free safety. And he gave up no touchdowns in coverage last year. That makes me very excited to see Xavier McKinney roaming around back there. The other thing I saw, thank you, Zach Cruz, or whoever this is, the article I'm looking at. He has a terribly low RAS number for a Packer, 5.82. Do I care about that? No, I do not. When a man can play the game of football. Now, would he have been drafted by the Packers? Probably not. But now that he's proven he can play the game of football, that's a different animal. Worth the money all day long. I'm super excited to see Xavier McKinney in a Packer uniform.
I'm really excited. A for the player and for the team, but also the fact we haven't seen that type of A1 level safety at the Packers for a number of years now.
Yeah, Woodson, would you say?
Yeah, when he moved to safety towards the end of his career.
It's been a long time. There are so many things. My phone is absolutely blowing up. The Panthers traded Brian Burns.
So I saw that was likely to the Giants, right? Yeah.
Yep.
He's a good player. I mean, that's a good pickup for any team. I don't know what they're going to have to give up to get him. But he's the guy that certainly interested a lot of, let's say, Packers fans and Packers observers in the draft where the Packers took Rashawn Gary. Brian Burns was in that draft. Different type of player to Rashawn Gary, although they're both edge guys. But he's a super pass rusher off the edge. Very, very productive. Good football player.
According to Adam Schefter, he signed a $150 million contract with the Giants. And the other move today, Josh Jacobs, now a Packer, former Raider. I had to do some research because I was a bit pissed when they let go of Aaron Jones. And I thought, man, what are we getting with Josh Jacobs? We're getting a guy who led the league in rushing, 26 years old. So I compared the two. Now, Aaron Jones has played more years than Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs has played from 2019 to 2023. Aaron Jones started in 2017. So he's played a couple more games. Josh Jacobs, when you compare him to Aaron Jones, his biggest attribute compared to Aaron Jones is that he's younger. Yeah. He's also carried the ball a bit more, and he's had more rushing touchdowns. That's where it ends with Josh Jacobs. Explain to me and Packer fans, other than age, why do the Packers want Josh Jacobs and not a draft pick? Why Josh Jacobs?
In my mind, they're looking for that back that's going to carry the load. I think they're looking for a back that can carry the ball 20 times a game, 17 games of the season. The guy that's going to carry the football 300 plus times in the season. I think they're looking for that guy to get consistency in the offense. And I think, you know, you get that consistent running game. And this is a guy that in his career is averaging, 4.2 yards a carry, that kind of number. Very, very consistent career. 1,000-yard rusher in three of his first four seasons. And, another guy from Alabama as well, now I think about it.
Do you think that the Packers didn't believe they could run Aaron Jones 20 times a game. That's sort of what I hear you saying, but maybe I'm using your words and interpreting it my own way.
I don't think they wanted to, right? So I don't think that they wanted to give him that level of stress over a 17-game season. I think he's going to have the occasional game at that number, but I don't think that they wanted to put that level of stress on his body.
And maybe they thought they were getting that in A.J. Dillon, and they figured out that they just didn't have that guy who could – he could do it, but he couldn't do it effectively. Maybe this is the upgrade from A.J. Dillon. I don't know. I'm sort of looking forward to Josh Jacobs. It will be strange to see – I want to call it that type of back. But the Packers haven't had a carry-the-load guy. Eddie Lacy, maybe?
Yeah.
Because Amon Green wasn't that guy, and Starks wasn't that guy. They were good running backs, but you didn't expect them to carry it 20 to 25 times a game, whereas Josh Jacobs, yeah.
And I think the other thing that's probably overlooked with Josh Jacobs is that he's a decent receiver as well coming out of the backfield. So
yeah, he's not Aaron Jones, but he can catch the football.
He can. So the best part of 200 career receptions over the 5 years for roughly 40 a year. That's pretty good.
And maybe with the Packers offense, he'll catch a couple more balls, right? Because, I mean, the Raiders were kind of discombobulated. They didn't really have a real set offense last year. Maybe he'll catch more balls. If he gets into that 60, you see a very versatile guy. I mean, that's not even four catches a game. That doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility. And 4 years, $48 million for Josh Jacobs. Does that number feel right to you?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's about what the contract structure looks like and how those cap numbers increase. Because in this day and age, there'll be an out in there at probably 3 years, two years, 3 years, depending on what the cap number is. And, you know, you would imagine it's to be an increasing cap number over the years. And the fourth year is probably, I don't know, 17 million of that is probably in the fourth year. So you make a decision then at that point. Do you do an extension? Do you restructure? Whatever. I think we want to get behind the headline numbers of the contract and just see what those look like. But I think that's about the ballpark.
Saquon Barkley signed with Philadelphia for far more money than that today, didn't he? Oh, no. Saquon Barkley, 3 years, $37.75 million. I mean, that's pretty close. I thought he signed for much more than that.
I was going to say, and that kind of $12 to $13 million a year, average per year, seems to be about the top level mark for running backs. Whereas, you know, we talked about Xavier McKinney before, that 17 to 20 for the top level safety seems to be about the number.
Yeah. Other NFC North, I almost said Central again, showing my age. Other NFC North news, Kirk Cousins signed with Atlanta today, 4 years, $180 million. Does that, Peter, now put the Vikings in rebuild mode? I'm going to go find a quarterback in the draft. What do you think?
I think certainly, unless they can find one in free agency or trade for Justin Fields.
Interesting that. I didn't think
you know,
about that.
We've seen some quarterback moves. So Russell Wilson's going to Pittsburgh, so he's off the market. The Cousins move to Atlanta does not surprise me at all. The number, $45 million a year, seems to be about spot on for me in terms of where the market is right now. So no surprise at all for me. I guess, having just mentioned Justin Fields, that clearly, you would imagine, takes Atlanta out of the Justin Fields talk. Unless Minnesota's looking at somebody like Fields, which I wouldn't imagine. I would think that Minnesota would be looking at somebody in the draft now. The market's closing on where Justin Fields could go as well.
Right. Do they keep him? I know this is rhetorical. Do they keep him, ride his contract out, still draft Caleb Williams and kind of do what the Packers have done? Like, okay, Justin, we'll take you for another 2 years or whatever it is, and then it's time for you to go. And maybe that will happen.
If the Bears are set on Caleb Williams, which you have to assume that they are, I don't think they're going to give Justin Fields away. And you're absolutely right. You know, they could take the view that any offer that they get isn't enough. He's got basically 1 year left on his contract, because I don't think they're going to do the fifth-year option. Keep him for another year. There's your second quarterback on the roster behind Caleb Williams, presumably, because I'm making the assumption that the Bears are going to bring in Caleb Williams to start immediately. But yeah, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that they do that. And I'm just trying to rack my brains very quickly as I'm talking to think of what other teams could be in the market for him.
It's a very small market now for Justin Fields, right? Like it's dwindled down to maybe two or three teams at best. The Bears are, I don't want to say in trouble, because they're not in trouble. At the end of the day, they have a starting quarterback. They're not paying him a stupid amount of money at this point because he's still under a contract that it's manageable. But that will be strange. The other part of it is, though, that Caleb Williams has, you know, made it clear, but he's hinted around that he does not want to play in Chicago. Does he pull an Eli Manning? And, okay, you drafted me, but I'm never going to play for you. You better trade me to somebody. He seems like the type. I'll say it out loud. The things that I've seen on social media, the whole thing at the combine, makes me think that he's going to dig his heels in and be like, sorry, Chicago, told you, and you made a mistake. Good luck. I wonder.
I guess part of that would depend on, is there a team that he really wants to go to?
That would then also allow for a trade, right? I mean, if there's nowhere that... But he's the number one pick. Would a team, would another team other than Chicago want him? Yes. Would he have more than one team he wants to play for? I would assume so. I don't know. I guess we'll see. I hope it happens because that'll be just glorious to see that all come down for Chicago. Speaking of Chicago, they did sign their own guy, Jalen Johnson, 4 years, $76 million. Good player. I mean, I have no issues with that. If I was going to re-sign somebody as a Chicago Bears brass, it's Jalen Johnson. You got to start somewhere. He's the guy I would definitely take.
He's a really good player. I mean, yeah, I think they've absolutely made the right deal there. Just going back very quickly, just occurred to me that Caleb Williams is from Washington, D.C. originally, and Washington has the number two pick, right?
Interesting.
Throwing that out there, don't I?
And I'm asking you shit that you'd have to come out of your brain with and not look at your draft guide. But what does it take to move from 2 to 1 in general?
I mean, I think in this instance, it would be quite a lot.
For Caleb Williams, because this is a different number one.
Off the top of my head, I don't know. I seem to recall that this has happened in the past, but I'd need to kind of look at those numbers. But we're talking a first round pick plus. Just to swap.
One spot. There's a big difference between one and the rest, though. I mean, according to what we've heard and seen and you know, the buzz around Caleb Williams.
Well, and it's also, at number one, you're sitting with you've got the aces in your hand, don't you? Because
right.
If you know that teams want to get to you, then they've got to give up what you want. Else I'll just sit here. Thank you very much. We shall see. It's going to be interesting.
It really is. And if Washington ended up with Caleb Williams, according to what I just saw on my phone, he'd be pairing him with Austin Eckler, former Charger, who is about to sign with Washington on a short deal. I can't think of any other NFC North big ones. DeAndre Swift signed with the Bears. That's a bit of a surprise. 3 years, $24 million. Was really good with a good offensive line in Philadelphia. Do the Bears have an offensive line that would allow DeAndre Swift to be great? I'm not sure they do.
So you're seeing Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs in the $12 million a year area. You're seeing DeAndre Swift in the $8 million a year area. So then if you're Aaron Jones, where do you fit in those numbers? Because I think we're now setting tiers, aren't we? We're setting a $12 million tier and an $8 million tier. It'd be interesting.
I'd say he's probably closer to $12 million than he is to $8 million. I mean, he's a much better player than DeAndre Swift. You can't argue that. But again, as guys sign and there's less places to sign, that's not great for Aaron Jones and his money. Being late to the party is bad in this situation. You need to get out there and sign, I want to say quickly, but quicker.
What I don't know, and I've just not seen news, is whether Tony Pollard at Dallas has signed anywhere or is going to sign somewhere. Because again, I imagine that if and when he does, then there's a good chance that Aaron Jones goes to Dallas.
Tony Pollard signed in Tennessee for 3 years, $24
million. $8 million a year. Yeah.
I'm Aaron Jones. I'm better than Tony Pollard all day long. I've proven it over and over again. I feel like Aaron Jones is going to be a Cowboy more and more. I start looking at this stuff. It's like, oh, no. I don't want to play against him in the playoffs. I don't want him waving goodbye to some Packer defender. I don't want to see that at all. All right. Anything else?
So much going on. And again, I'm expecting probably not as much to happen tomorrow, but we're going to see a bunch of stuff happen over the next couple of days as, you know, the remaining top tier free agents sign with teams. And then there's going to be the next tier guys. And it's going to be really interesting. And all of this obviously shakes up as you alluded to earlier, it shakes up the thought process around the draft. We knew the Packers needed a safety. They've got a safety. It's possible they think they need two.
Yeah.
So where do they go there? But now you're perhaps looking at the next tier of safeties as kind of a second round guy. You might not be looking for a guy now in the first round. So it certainly changes up that thought process.
If you're now Packer brass, you have Xavier McKinney. Are you looking for a more in the box guy?
I would think so. Are you now looking for a more of a in the box type guy?
Things have really changed. The whole atmosphere around what the Packers should or shouldn't do in the draft has definitely changed. I do think they should still draft a running back. I think now they can look lower in the draft. I don't want to call it taking a chance. You know, Aaron Jones wasn't a high pick. Jamal Williams wasn't a high pick, ended up being a very productive runner. I think maybe Jalen Wright is, I don't want to say he's off the board, but he might be now because you're not going to go into the second, third round. I don't think, or maybe you are. I mean, yeah, it's okay to have an embarrassment of riches. You've already done it at tight end. You've already done it at wide receiver. Maybe you do it at running back too.
I think the running back position in this draft is so difficult to call in the order in which these guys are going to go. So you've got a whole myriad of different types of backs, and you could probably throw 10 names into a hat and pull them out in any order. And Jalen Wright could be 10th out of those 10, or he could be third out of those 10.
Yeah.
You just don't know where, and you don't know how the teams are thinking. So he could be sitting in round four. There's no question about that. You could also see a team taking a punt a lot earlier than that. So I don't know. You know, where do the likes of Braylon Allen go? How do people see him? How do they see Estime from Notre Dame, who ran a 4.71 at the combine, but is a good football player? How do they see that guy?
They see him as a tight end, no? Sorry.
It's just a complete group of about 10 guys.
The odds of Braylon Allen becoming a Steeler are, I think, 2-1. I don't know why I think that. He just feels like a Steeler guy to me. Plus, the Steelers have taken Badgers over the years. I just feel like he's going to be a Steeler. I don't know why. That's just my gut. It's not often right, but we'll see. All right. So I guess that's it. So thanks for listening to episode 167, the holy shit episode. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.